And this is such a foundation for Romans 6 to 8, that we are in Christ. Now, as I've been wrestling with it this week and this last month, it's been hurting my brain. How does it work? How am I in Jesus? How am I dead? It says I'm dead, but I'm here. How does it work? But as I've come to discover the truths and get my head around it, it just makes me want to praise God even more for what he's done. And so I hope today, as we have a look at being in Christ, it's the same as we sung our last song, praise and glory be to God. I hope that makes us, that wells up inside us as we hear what God has done for us. Now, this doctrine, it's so rich and it's so wide and there's so many aspects to it. This morning, I want to focus on just one of those aspects in freedom with, in union with Christ. And that's the freedom that we have because we're in Jesus. So that's what I want to be focusing on today. Now, this doctrine, it helps us to change. It gives us hope. And whatever we're struggling with, whatever we're feeling enslaved by, whether that be trying to please God, whether that be struggling with sin, there's freedom. There's hope. We can change. And that freedom is found in Jesus. I'm just going to ask God for some help before I start preaching. Father, I just thank you that we can gather here today. And Lord, as we get into your word, I just ask that you would speak to your people, and please help me to be clear. And as we discover these great truths, may your spirit come and apply them to our life and help us, Lord, to change and to praise you for it. Amen. So tonight, this morning, this morning, I'm going to be mainly looking at Colossians 2 and 3, but it is a topical sermon, so I'll be going all over the place, but my base will be Colossians 2 and 3, as we dig into this truth. So please keep your Bibles open to Colossians, and we had 3 read out for us. That's the application of this truth. I want to start in chapter 2. Just a little bit of context of Colossians. So Paul, he's writing to the Colossian church, and he has some concerns for them. And have a look what he says to them in chapter 2, verse 1. I want you to know how much I'm struggling for you and for those at Laodicea and for all who have not met me personally. Now, the word struggling here, it's the same word as fighting. Paul's struggling for the Colossians, fighting for them. Something's happened in the church. He's concerned for them, that he wants to struggle. And what is he concerned about? Why is he struggling? Verse 8, he tells us very clearly. See to it that no one takes you captive through hollow and deceptive philosophy, which depends on human tradition and the basic principles of the world, rather than on Christ. People in the church at Colossae were in danger of being taken captive. They were in danger of being enslaved and imprisoned by some false teaching that was going on in the church. People telling them to rely on these philosophies in the world that was hindering them and slowing them in their walk with Christ. The deceptive philosophy and human traditions, Paul tells us, we see later on in the chapter, verse 21, there was living in an aesthetic lifestyle. They couldn't touch things. They couldn't eat things. Verse 23, they were worshipping angels. And Paul makes it clear, this is not Christian. I'm not sure if it was Jewish or if it was Greek that was causing them to do this, the influences, but it wasn't Christian. And it was making them slaves, making them think they had to keep doing things to be spiritual. They were being enslaved. So in Colossae, people are being taken captive, being enslaved, and the answer that he gives them, why are you free? How can you be free from being enslaved? The answer that he gives them, because you're in Jesus. So this is Colossians. Galatians, similar thing. Different thing that was enslaving them. They were thinking they still had to live under the Old Testament law, thinking they still had to keep the commands of the Old Testament to please God. It was enslaving them. He says the answer to to freedom? Union with Christ. Romans. Paul's talking about a different thing in Romans. He talks about sin. People ask, if we've been saved by grace, can we keep sinning? And Paul says, no, of course you can't. Why? You're not slaves to sin anymore. And why aren't you slaves? Because you're in Christ. So all throughout the New Testament, we see that people are being enslaved with things. Different areas, different aspects. Sometimes trying to think they've got to do things to please God. Sometimes thinking they're enslaved to sin. The answer, Paul says, the answer God says in his word, you're in Christ. So you're free. But how does this doctrine set us free? How is it that we don't have to keep trying to do things to be spiritual anymore? No, free in Christ. How is it that if we're struggling with sin and feel like we're slaves to sin, we're free to that? How is it? Well, we've got to unpack the doctrine of union with Christ to understand the riches of that, to see how that shapes and changes our life. So this doctrine, it sets us free. Now this morning, I want to focus mainly on freedom from sin. Even though my base is Colossians, it's exactly the same doctrine and theology and teaching Paul gives here that frees us from sin as well. So I want to focus this morning on how, because of Jesus, and how that we're in him. How are we free from sin in our life? So have you ever felt like sin has taken you captive? Have you ever felt like you're a slave to it? Is there something that you struggle with, that you try time and time again to kill, to get rid of, to stop doing, but yet you keep falling back into it? I know I have. It can be different things for different people. For some people, they struggle with anger and they have a temper, but they might just excuse it and say, I can't help it, it's just me. But God says we can change, we are free from sin. Do you struggle with pornography? Have you tried to stop putting things in place but still keep falling, feeling like you're captive to it? Or do you struggle with gossip, gambling, alcohol? Or are you a pretty good person? Nothing really bad, no real big sin. But when you serve in ministry, you find yourself complaining and you're discontent with service to the Lord. Or do you do all the right things, but motivation behind them isn't right? You do it to please people rather than to please God. This doctrine of union with Christ, it sets us free from the power of sin. It means we can change. It gives us hope. And whatever we're enslaved to, feeling enslaved to, there's freedom. And that's found in Christ. So what is it then? How does it help us then? So we need to understand it before it can. Let's dive in and have a look at the doctrine of union with Christ. Now verse 9 to 12, Paul spells it out so clearly in Colossians. But if you're heaps smart, you might read this and go, sweet, I get it. But when I read it, I go, what the heck's happening, Paul? What are you talking about? And so I want to read through it, then think about it, and discuss it, and then come back to it again. So let's just read through it now. Verses 9 to 12, chapter 2. He says, for in him the whole fullness of the deity dwells bodily, and you have been filled in him, who is the head of all rule and authority. In him also you were circumcised with the circumcision made without hands, by putting off the body of the flesh, by the circumcision of Christ, having been buried with him in baptism, in which you were also raised with him through faith in the powerful working of God, who raised him from the dead. So just briefly thinking about that, he says, verse 9, for in Christ the fullness of the deity lives in bodily form. In Christ, all of God dwells. You, he says, verse 10, have been given fullness in Christ. So we are in Christ, God is in Christ, and we have been given all the fullness that's in Christ. In him we were circumcised in the putting off of the sinful nature. Being in him, our sinful nature has been cut off from us because we're in him. And having been buried with him in baptism and raised through faith in the power of God who raised him from the dead. So because Jesus was buried, we were buried. Because Jesus rose, we rose. So those are some awesome truths. That's all true of us because that happened to Christ. That's the knowledge there that sets us free. But how does it work? How are we in Christ? Well, in John 15, Jesus gives us an illustration of how we're in him. Jesus says, "I'm the vine, you're the branches. If a man remains in me and I in him, he will bear much fruit. From apart from me, you can do nothing." So Jesus says he's like a branch. We're like a branch and he's the vine and we're in him. But how did we get in Jesus in the first place? 1 Corinthians 1:30 says, it's because of him that you're in Christ. So God does it. I'm not sure exactly how, but he does. When we put our trust in Jesus, God puts us in Christ, like a branch in a vine. So now I brought a little illustration to try and demonstrate the point. And I'm a horticulturalist, so I love this illustration. So how did we get in Jesus? So, and how does it work that we're in Christ? So this tree, right, before I cut it down, it had roots in the soil, and it was sucking up all the goodness that was in the soil. Sucks up water through the roots and the nutrients, that's its food, and that all flows up and down in the tree, all the nutrients and goodness flowing through all the branches that are in there, flowing up and down, just in a layer, just under the bark. It just, all its goodness flows up and down. Now this is like Jesus. Now Jesus, he died and rose again. Everything that he achieved is flowing up and down throughout Jesus. That he died means his death and what that achieved before God flowing up and down. That he rose again and had victory over death flowing up and down in him. That he's the Son of God flowing up and down in him. That God loves him flowing up and down. That's all in Jesus. God, he takes us and he grafts us in to Jesus. Now, when you graft something, you've got to make sure that the layer of stuff that flows up and down, you make a little cut in the branch, and then you've got to make sure that the same area on here connects with there. So that stuff that's flowing up and down the branch flows into the new branch that you put in there, and you tape it on hard. And so when God puts us in Jesus, everything that's flowing up and down in Jesus all of a sudden flows into us. We receive all those benefits. So that Jesus died and rose again, that flows into us. That Jesus is God's Son, that flows into us. And we're just part of him. We are now one with Christ, united to him. And everything that he has done has been achieved for us as well. And we receive as well. So that's how we're in Christ. But when you graft something in, you need a healthy branch. It needs to be something healthy or it just doesn't take. But the thing with us is we weren't healthy branches. We weren't even sick branches. We were dead branches. And have a look what it says in chapter 2, verse 13. When you were dead in your sins and in the uncircumcision of your sinful nature, God made you alive with Christ. We were a dead branch. There was no way that would just work. But God does a miracle. And when he puts us in him, we go from being dead to being alive and receiving all the benefits that Christ has achieved for us. So that's how we're in Christ. That's the illustration that Jesus gives us. And that should make us just want to praise God for what he's done. Everything Jesus received, we've received as well, because God put us in him. So that's amazing. So this is the doctrine of union with Christ. Now this illustration and us being in Christ, it's not just theoretical. It's not just airy-fairy kind of theology that, you know, somehow we believe we're in Christ. But this is a spiritual reality. We spiritually are in Christ. We are soaking up God's goodness. That has been achieved for us. And because of that, freedom flows out of that. I just want to read verses 9 to 12 one more time. And with that in mind now, that we're in Jesus that way, soaking up his goodness. So verse 9, for in Christ all the fullness of deity lives in bodily form. So all of God is in Jesus. And you have been given fullness in Christ because we have been put into him. Now we receive all that fullness. In him you are also circumcised in the putting off of your sinful nature, not with the circumcision done by hands, but circumcision done by Christ. When we were put into Christ, our sinful nature was taken away from us, put off us, when we were put in. And having been buried with him in baptism and raised with him through your faith in the power of God who raised him from the dead, when we were put in him, he died and was buried, so have we been, we're in him. When we're put in him, he raised, so have we been, we're in him. So how did this help the Colossians then? Not being taken captive to traditions, philosophies of their day. Well, the fact that they are in Christ, the fact that he'd achieved it all for them, the fact that they were full because they were in him, they couldn't add to their faith. They couldn't be extra spiritual by doing extra things. The fullness they had was already in him. But how does that help us with our struggle with sin today? How does being in Christ help us with that? Well, it helps us in a few ways. But on a basic level, and I'll expound this then, because we're in him and Jesus died to this life and rose again, conquering sin, that's the same for us. We've died to it because we're in him, conquering sin. If you wouldn't mind just flipping with me to Romans chapter 6, verse 6 to 7. This is the most clearest statement in the Bible of how being with Christ has freed us. Romans 6, verse 6 to 7. For we know that our old self was crucified with him, so that the body of sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves to sin, because anyone who has died has been freed from sin. So it says we've been freed from sin. Old self crucified, no longer slaves. Anyone who's died has been freed, and we're in Christ. We've died, we're free. So if we're in Christ, then is it the sin's not a problem anymore? Now we just don't have to worry about it. Now I just don't sin anymore. But I know that I do sin. So then am I worried that I'm not in Christ if I still sin? And it says I'm free from sin. How does it fit together? What exactly does it mean when it says I'm free from sin? Well, I think it means a few things. The first thing that it means, and Romans 8 verse 1 says it so clearly, free from the power sin has to condemn me now. There is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Because I'm in him, he's died to it, he's achieved all that for me. I'm free from the power sin has to condemn me. Two, spiritually, I'm free from sin as well. So at the moment, while I still struggle with sin on this earth, in reality, I have been joined with Christ. And I know when he comes back, now it's a spiritual reality. Then it's going to be a physical reality. I'm going to rise with him because I'm in him. And it will be a physical reality then. There will be no more sin. And so I'm no longer a slave to it now because it's not going to take me under. It's not going to take me to the grave and keep me there. I'm free from it that way. But I think three as well, and for our lives here now, we are free from the power sin has to keep us slaves. Now that we're in Christ, because of Jesus and what he's done, we have the power to defeat sin now. We have the power to change now. When I was 19 is when I put my trust in Jesus. I wanted to, heaps of stuff changed overnight when I put my trust in Jesus. I wanted to live for him all of a sudden. My goals changed from wanting to get rich here to wanting to store up treasure in heaven. I used to have a really filthy mouth, bad language, and that just changed overnight almost. Why? Well, I was in Christ. His power was at work in me. But there was things in my life which did not change overnight. There are sins in my life which I still struggle with. Why is that? How does that work if I'm in Christ? Well, he gives me the power to overcome those sins. So if we've put our trust in Jesus, we're following him and seeking to live his ways, we don't have to feel like this sin that's in our life now, that's just going to be life for the rest of this life on earth. We don't have to feel like that's just our lot. We're just enslaved to that. No, because we're in Christ, we have the power to overcome that. Have a listen to what Paul says in Philippians 3:12. Now, this is a complex verse, but it's so rich. He says in Philippians 3:12, "Not that I've already obtained this or have already been made perfect, but I press on to take hold of that for which Christ Jesus took hold of me." He says he hasn't obtained everything already. He hasn't been made perfect. But he presses on to take hold of that for which Christ has already taken hold of him. Because Christ has already taken hold of him, because of what Christ has already done, he can press on in the faith to take hold of that. Because Christ has already died to sin and we're in him, we can strive now here on life to kill sin in our life, to overcome it because of what he's already done. So while he's already done it, we still strive to get there as well. And we have the power to do that now because we're in him. So we must strive to get sin out of our life now as well because we are free. So now in Colossians, we'll head back to Colossians. And Colossians chapter 3, in light of this doctrine of union with Christ, in light of that we're in Jesus, he gives us a few things to do to press on. So now in light of what's happened, in light of your dead, now how do we press on to take hold of that which Christ has already taken hold of for us? And there's two things I just want to draw out of chapter 3. The first thing he says to do is to look. Look at the reality that you do have now. The second thing he has to say is to kill in light of the reality that we're in. So how do we be free from sin that we're captive to? He says to look, to kill. So first, to look at where we are. Colossians chapter 3, verse 1 to 4. "Since then you have been raised with Christ. Set your hearts on things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things above, not on earthly things. For you died, and your life is now hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you will also appear with him in glory." He's saying, look at where you are. Because you are in Christ, while your body is now here on earth, Christ is in heaven, having conquered everything. And spiritually, you are with him there as well. Don't get distracted by earthly things, because that is your reality. And when Christ appears, we'll appear with him. So knowing who we are, an illustration that I heard, it's like being in a plane. Wherever that plane goes, you go there as well. Jesus is like that plane. We're in him. Wherever Jesus goes, we go as well. We're in him now. We know where he's already landed. And so we're That's us too. That's our reality. While we struggle with things now, we know that's our reality for sure. So that gives us confidence to, when we struggle with sin and try to overcome it, it's not in some hope that we might beat sin. We do it because we know that we will. We know Christ didn't just die and stay dead, but he rose and is alive. So will we. That gives us confidence to go on, pressing on, to take hold of that which he took hold of us for. That means when we're struggling with sin and when we fall, we're not slaves to it. We don't stay down. It means we can get back up again. If it wasn't certain, we might decide to give up. We might say it's too much. But our future is certain. So we look to where Jesus is. He's in heaven. And we know we're there with him as well. He's already taken hold of us. When we fall now, we don't stay down. So we look to him. The second thing we're told to do is to kill. So the Bible tells us, and it's in chapter 3, verse 5, put to death, therefore, whatever belongs to your earthly nature. So because we're in Christ, we are to kill. It says we are at war. It says we are to get violent against our sin. When you see something, sin as something to be killed, then you don't just sit back. You don't just feel comfortable with it there. You think of how you can kill it. You figure out ways and you plan things, how you avoid it. Many Christians can hear this doctrine with Christ and think we just have to sit back. But that's not what Paul says. He says, put to death, therefore, your earthly nature. So because of what Christ has done, we press on to take hold and we kill our sin. So whatever we're struggling with, we need to make a plan for how we can kill it. When we're at war, we take things seriously. We know there's a danger. We've got to avoid it. But we must get violent with it. So, we can be enslaved by all kinds of things. We can struggle with things. Whether that be thinking we've got to earn more things to get into heaven. We know that Jesus is our fullness. Whether that be sin that we feel like we're enslaved to. But we know that he's already conquered it and we're in him. We know that how we get free is knowing that we're in him and looking to him. And that we have fullness in him. And we know that because we're free from it, now we can kill it. Before it would be in vain. Now we're in him, we have the power to put it to death. So by looking to where we are, by killing sin, we overcome it. And all this because we are united to Christ. And I hope that that results in us wanting to praise him more for what he's done. Let me close in prayer for us. Thank you, Father, that you put us in Christ. That all the benefits that are from being in him are in us. That because he rose and died, so have we. And that because he has defeated sin, so have we, and so can we. And so, Lord, I just pray that you would help us to take this truth and apply it to our lives. Help us to change, and if there's stuff we're struggling with, I just ask, Lord, you'd help us to kill it by your power in our life. And I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.